So about 15 years ago, I remember sitting on my parents' couch watching an infomercial, because I had that kind of time apparently at that point. And it was an infomercial by a company called Ronco. And I regret that I didn't go looking for a picture of this infomercial. And this infomercial was for this rotisserie chicken barbecue thing that would sit on your countertop. Some of you remember watching this infomercial. And the idea was that Ron, he was the host of and owner of Ronco, it was a very creative name, he would put the chicken in there, and he would say his catchphrase, which was, just set it and forget it. And the whole studio audience would say it at the same time. And even those of us at home who were, you know, weren't doing much would mutter it underneath our breath, just set it and forget it. Because the idea was, it was really just that simple to cook a chicken. You just put it in there, turn the dial, and set it and forget it. That was all you had to do, and you get the perfect rotisserie chicken every time. You know, I think that as we think about our spiritual lives, we can sometimes have a just set it and forget it mentality. You know, the idea, I think, is that once we decide to follow Jesus, that's all we need to do. We can just set it and forget it. And in a certain degree, we have to make a first step, right? We have to make that first decision to follow Jesus. That's a pretty important one. And to get back to our chicken rotisserie thing for a moment, if you never put that chicken in and turn that dial, you're never going to eat that delicious rotisserie chicken. You have to actually take that first step. But following Jesus isn't a rotisserie chicken, okay? Following Jesus is a relationship. And just like any relationship, it's a relationship is not something that we can just do once, say we're in, and then forget all about it. Instead, in relationships, what we do over and over again is we say yes. We commit ourselves over and over and over again to the relationship in question, whether it be with our spouse, whether it be a friendship with somebody. You know, when we pick up the phone and we say, hey, how are you doing? We are, again, committing ourselves to that relationship. And as we stand at the beginning of a new year, we have an opportunity to say yes, to commit ourselves to Jesus in our spiritual lives in a fresh way. A new year is an opportunity to be prompted to examine our lives as followers of Jesus, to say, what can I do to say yes to Jesus all over again? What are the steps that I could take that would grow in me what it means to follow Jesus faithfully? This morning, we're going to conclude our time with communion. And communion is one of those natural, reoccurring practices that we do as followers of Jesus that are opportunities for us to say, yes, I am committing myself to Jesus all over again. And so we're going to do that at the end of our time together this morning. And for those of you who are watching at home, if you don't have your communion elements ready, let me just give you a prompt here. Hit pause on the video, run and get your crackers and your juice, and then come back and hit play. We'll still be here. It's the magic of YouTube. It works every time. But we're going to celebrate communion together as a way of us demonstrating that we are committing ourselves to Jesus afresh. But before we get to communion, this morning we're going to look at the opening verses from John chapter 1. And in these verses, John is excitingly telling us about Jesus. He's introducing his readers to Jesus. Now, if we were to read Matthew and Luke, we would meet Jesus as the baby. But in John's gospel, he introduces us to Jesus differently. And he's inviting us to have a commitment to Jesus, to commit ourselves to following Jesus. And so as we read these opening verses to John chapter 1, we hear John introducing us to Jesus as the God who creates. And so we're going to explore that a little bit as we read these opening verses from John, starting in verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. Now, as we read this and we hear that opening phrase, in the beginning, what we should recognize is that should connect us to what is happening in Genesis chapter 1, verse 1, which says, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. And what John is doing is he's connecting Jesus with God's act of creation at the beginning of time by introducing us to something, or someone rather, that he calls the Word. Now again, if we think back to what is said in Genesis chapter 1, we remember that God creates by speaking things into being. And seven times in that chapter, the phrase, "and God said," is repeated as God commands things like light and plants and animals to come into existence. See, for John, the Word is a shorthand for the creative work that God does to bring the world to life. Now, more generally, as we read through the Old Testament, we come to realize that the Word is also used in the phrase "the Word of God" to describe God not only as being the Creator, but God's justice, His deliverance, His will, His wisdom, and so many other things. The Word of God is a term that He's used to describe the things that God does and who God is. And if we were to go outside of Scripture into Greek thought, and in John's world, it would have been very much influenced by Greek thought, the Word, or Logos, was a philosophical concept that described the shaping and ordering principles that are behind the entire universe. And no doubt John has all of these things in mind when he's writing. But John also very much wants us to connect this understanding of the Word, this Word, in all of its complexity of understanding, and wants us to realize that that Word can be summed up in a person. In verse 14, it says, "The Word became flesh and made His dwelling among us." And in saying this, he is pointing his readers, he is pointing us to Jesus. And he's saying that Jesus is not only from God as some sort of messenger of sorts, but that he was with God at the time of creation. And he wasn't just standing there with him, but he was God who was doing the creating. He was the one who was giving life and bringing light into the world. That Jesus was the creative force of God at work, bringing nothing and bringing it into something. Bringing life where there was no life. Bringing light to the darkness. That was what Jesus was doing. Jesus was there. And in a sense, this is a bit of a revisionist history lesson by John, because he's inserting Jesus into the understanding of how God created the universe at the beginning of time. He wants us to see that, at that moment when God created the world, that's where Jesus was there. And just, as Jesus was there bringing, creating, imagine what Jesus could do in our lives now. Just as Jesus was God at bringing everything into being, what could Jesus do in our lives now? Sometimes we get stuck thinking about how God did all those amazing things way back when, as we read through the Old Testament, we read about these miracles and these amazing things happen, and we wonder, why isn't God doing any of that stuff now? And what John wants us to recognize is that the same God who was doing that then is the God who showed up in that baby Jesus that we celebrate at Christmas, and is the same God that is at work in our lives as followers of Jesus, bringing about good things, bringing about life and love and light to places and lives that were previously empty. And he wants us to imagine, what would our lives be like if we were open to what God could do in us through Jesus? And this leads us to our second point this morning, which is the question, how will we respond to Jesus? And so let's keep reading John chapter 1, starting at verse 9. "The true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision, nor of a husband's will, but born of God." There was one night a couple months back where I was putting our kids to bed, and we turned the lights off, and one of the boys started talking about how off in the corner of their bedroom it looked like there was somebody standing there. And in his little boy mind, he started creating a story about this person that was standing in the corner and how they were bad and how he was scared of them. And no matter what I said, I couldn't convince him otherwise. I knew what was there. I knew that that was a sweater hanging on the back of the door. But in he'd created something in his mind. And it wasn't until we went and we turned on the light and we explored everything that we were able to say, look, that shadow, that like scary person that you were imagining there, it's a sweater. Look, we can pick it up. We can put it on the floor. We can put it in the laundry hamper. We can get rid of it. It's okay. But we needed the light to be able to see how things truly were. You know, as Jesus tells us, John tells us about Jesus, he talks about Jesus as being the ultimate source of light that has come to illuminate what has been hidden in the shadows. That Jesus as the ultimate source of light has come to displace fear and to help people find their way. And as we read through the Gospels, we see that the light that Jesus brings helps us see what life is really all about. It helps put things in perspective. He helps show us that our fears really aren't worth being afraid of. He helps show us the reality of our sin that we might be tempted to think isn't that big of a deal, but he brings it out in that light and shows us for what it is and the damage that it can cause. And he also brings to our awareness God's love and how God wants to know us and wants us to rescue us from our fear. See, the light that Jesus brings shows us what it means to follow God's way of life. But John tells us that Jesus was not recognized for who he was. In fact, he was rejected by many. And we see this played out throughout Jesus' life, but there's one instance that comes to mind from early on in Jesus' ministry where he shows up in his hometown synagogue and he reads from the scroll. And after he finishes reading, the people basically look back and forth at each other and they say to themselves, who does this guy think he is? Like, isn't he this kid that we knew growing up down the street? Who does he think he is? And Jesus replies by saying, no prophet is accepted in his hometown. You know, it seems that these folks who had this opportunity to listen to Jesus, having Jesus stand right in front of them, they couldn't see Jesus for who he was because of their assumptions and their experience. They weren't able to see Jesus for who he was as God's messenger of light, of God's presence of light and love and life standing right there in front of them. And that can be true of us as well. That our assumptions and our past experiences can get in the way of us experiencing Jesus and what Jesus wants to bring to our lives. And so the result could be that we reject Jesus. Now, having come through the Christmas season, we know that we have a few different options when somebody gives us a gift, don't we? There's the option where we completely just reject the gift. Somebody gives us a gift and we pick it up and we say, no thanks, and we throw it away. Except we never actually do that because we're too polite to do that, right? But instead, what we do is we take the gift that we don't like and we look at it and we smile politely. And then when we get home, we find the place in the closet where we throw it or in the garage and we put it there until the proper amount of time goes by before we can go give it to Goodwill or something like that, right? Other people do this too, not just me, right? The studio audience is not helping me this morning. They're just staring at me like, Josh, you're the only one that does this. But that's one option we have. The other option is to receive the gift that we have been given and to joyfully take it and to say, thank you so much, and to actively look for how we can make it a part of our repertoire, make it a part of our lives, put it to use. I wonder, in thinking about how we can respond when a gift is given to us, we think about that. I wonder if that can be helpful when we think about how we choose to respond to Jesus. See, as we've talked about, people can reject Jesus. They might do it politely or they might do it like in your face, but they can reject Jesus, and that's something that we can do. But what would it look like for us to gratefully receive Jesus? What would that mean for us? See, as we accept Jesus and as we choose to follow him, something changes in who we are. We move from being outside of God's family to being brought into the inner workings of his family as one of his children. We move from being strangers to enjoying the warmth of a family relationship, a familiar relationship with all the benefits, privileges, and even responsibilities that are part of being part of God's family. See, when we choose to follow Jesus, when we receive God's gift, we are allowing his creative, life-giving presence in to transform who we are. and to shape our lives. And as we do so, we can begin to see God as our good Father who cares for us even when we aren't at our best. And because of Jesus, we can feel secure in knowing that God's love for us will not change. Even in those moments when we're in a funk and when we aren't doing the things that we ought to do, we can know that God's love is still for us. And because of Jesus, we know that when we are going through difficult times, like some of us might be feeling like we're going through a difficult time right now, that God has not forgotten us, that God is indeed with us. And again, we've celebrated that at Christmas, that God came to be with us as Jesus. Jesus is Emmanuel, God with us. And because of Jesus, the Holy Spirit is at work in our lives, growing good things like love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, and self-control. And these are traits that not only make us look and make us more like Jesus and are beneficial to us, but they are traits that actually make the lives of other people better because we are reflecting the goodness of God. Now, as John talks about this transformation, as he talks about this opportunity that we have to be a part of God's family, he wants it to be clear that unlike what happens in some family where family growth is unanticipated and unplanned for, that the growth of God's family is not something that happens by accident. Paul in Ephesians chapter 1 verse 5 describes this transformation using the word adoption to describe God being intentional and purposeful in bringing into his family someone who at one point was on the outside and bringing them in. And this is to say that God doesn't have to include us into his family, but he chooses to. He makes the deliberate decision to invite us to be a part of his family because he wants us to join him. He wants us to experience this family relationship. And so the question that John leaves hanging for us as we read through this passage is, how are we going to respond to Jesus? How will we respond to this invitation? What are we going to do with it? And so as we stand at the beginning of a new year, we have the opportunity to reflect and say, how are we going to respond to Jesus being Jesus as the one that God has not only sent, but is God, the creator, the embodiment of the God who creates and continues to create? How are we going to respond to him? And for some of us this morning, it might mean that we decide to follow Jesus for the first time. And so maybe as you're listening this morning at home or here, you find yourself thinking, I want to know more about that, or I'm intrigued, I'm curious, my curiosity has been piqued. And if that's you, then I'm just here to say that the invitation to follow Jesus is for you, that God is inviting you to respond to Jesus. And maybe the first step is just to admit that you're curious. Now, for most of us who are listening today, we took that first step years ago. And so as we begin this new year, I want to invite us to find ways to grow in our experience of being a part of God's family and to grow in our commitment as a follower of Jesus this next year. And it's always good to not just say yes, you know, just to nod our heads, but to find something tangible as a way of declaring that we want this next year to be different, or we want to be growing in our commitment to Jesus. And so I'm just going to lay out three things before we get to communion this morning. And of course, there's way more than three things, but here's just three things. The first is to engage in spiritual disciplines. Because as we do things like read scripture, pray, as we worship, what we are doing is we are making space for God to meet with us and for us to experience the presence of Jesus in our lives. And so for some of us at the beginning of this new year, this is maybe a nudge for us to re-engage in some of those things that we let slide. I mean, last year at the beginning of the year, I was like, I'm going to read the whole Bible in a year. I've done that before, and I was like, I'm going to do it again. I let you know by May I couldn't finish it, okay? I quit. I had to pick up something else. You know, I sat here at the beginning of this year, I was thinking, you know what? I'm not really happy with how that turned out. Well, I'm not saying I'm going to try doing the whole Bible in a year thing, because it didn't really turn out too well for me last year. But I'm going to try figuring out what is my approach into engaging spiritual disciplines in a way that works for me right now. In the season of life that I am in, how can I engage in spiritual disciplines? Now, if you're looking for resources, a few years ago, we did a sermon series called Spiritual Stuff for the Everyday Soul that focused on spiritual practices, and we tried to keep it simple, we tried to keep it practical, and a link for that you can find in the sermon notes online, and if you're interested in going back and looking at some of that teaching. Another resource that many of us have on our phones already is that YouVersion Bible app, and that is a great way of reminding us to read Scripture to keep it handy, whether we're at the bus or we're waiting for an appointment or something like that, or if we're just somebody that needs a ping on our phone to remind us to do something, it's there. And there's some great devotionals that are a part of that. And actually, even this week, Pastor Shar sent something out to the staff team, and I thought, that looks great. That's the one I'm going to use to start my new year off with. And so there's some good resources there for you. A second possible thing that we might want to think about, if we haven't already, is to follow Jesus into baptism. In Matthew chapter 3, we read about Jesus being baptized as an expression of his commitment to God and to God's mission. And as followers of Jesus, he asks us to do the same, to express our commitment in this physical way. Because, you know what, baptism is really, it's an outward expression of an inward commitment. You know, just like in a marriage ceremony, what we're doing is we're standing up here and we're just really declaring a commitment that a couple has already made privately, but they're doing it in front of their friends and family to declare that this is so, and their friends and family are there to provide some accountability and some support and some cheerleading. In a similar way, that's what baptism is. It is us, in an outward way, declaring what is already true, that it is our desire to follow Jesus for the rest of our lives and to follow his example in this rite. And we do so in a church community, not just so that we have a show on a Sunday morning, but we do this because we are a part. We are participants in what is happening. We can cheerlead and encourage, and we can be a part of each other's lives as we grow as followers of Jesus. And so if baptism is something that you are interested in, let us know. I've said throughout the pandemic, we will find creative ways to practice baptism. We will find creative ways to do baby dedication or whatever else that we do. We can do this. Just let us know, and we'd love to talk to you about that. Third, we can grow in our commitment by practicing generosity with our resources. And I wonder if for some of us, our renewed commitment to following Jesus looks like us making new commitments to how we are going to use the resources that we have, whether they be our time, our energy, or even our money. It is that we are looking for something new to invest ourselves in, something that is aligns with the heart of God, that can be a way of us expressing our commitment to Jesus over this next year. Of course, there are things that you can get involved with here at our church, whether that is through volunteering or is through financial giving. Those are all things that we'd love to talk to you about if you haven't gotten involved yet. And I know this is kind of a funny time to be talking about volunteering, but you know, as we anticipate being able to do more and more, at some point it's going to require more and more people. And so one of the ways that we can express our commitment to Jesus is in how we are practicing that in our community of followers of Jesus. But of course, we know that there are other great things happening in our city and in our world that need support, and they need the use of people using their resources, their time and their money and their energy. And so I would just encourage us to be looking for how can we be committing the resources we have in this new year in a way that aligns with Jesus' heart. That's one way that we can express and take a step in our commitment to following Jesus.